All right, welcome to No One Is Legal Radio on CKLN 80.1 FM, Word of Mouth News, broadcasting live out of Ryerson University in Toronto. Today is Friday, July 2nd. I'm Ryan Hayes. The first half hour of our show is hosted by No One Is Legal Radio. We'll be focusing on the rise and resistance of queers against Israeli apartheid in Toronto. At 6:30, OCAP Radio will take the mic, and they'll be speaking with Doreen Silversmith of Six Nations and interviewing one of the many people brutalized by the cops during the G20. But first, the headlines.
Thousands took to the streets yesterday in Montreal and Toronto to protest the severe police brutality during last week's G20 meetings. Calling on independent investigation into the brutal beatings, arrests, and police tactics, the demonstrators also demanded the resignation of Toronto Chief of Police Bill Blair. With global attention on Toronto, tens of thousands of people mobilized in a historic week-long convergence in opposition to the oppressive policies of the G20 leaders. Daily demonstrations highlighted struggles for Indigenous sovereignty, environmental justice, migrant justice, an end to war and occupation, community control over resources, gender justice, and queer and disability rights. Also unprecedented was the over $1.2 billion spent on security, the most in G20 summit history, which paid for a dizzying array of weaponry and nearly 20,000 police, plus a security fence that turned Toronto into a fortress to host a select few and a police state to terrorize the rest of us. Nearly 1,000 people, protesters and bystanders alike, were detained, the largest mass arrest in Canadian history. They were held for long periods in makeshift cages in deplorable conditions, most without timely access to legal counsel. Many had simply been caught up in massive police sweeps of public areas. There are also documented cases of harassment and abuse of journalists, as well as widespread racial profiling. Some are still in custody. 20 face serious charges. These prisoners are longtime community organizers, including some of our own here at No One Is Illegal. They were targeted for their unapologetically vocal and defiant roles in resisting all forms of oppression and exploitation. The Toronto Community Mobilization Network, the coordinating body for G20 demonstrations, notes in a statement that, quote, "As the police and media try to divide us, we make no distinction between good protesters and bad protesters. All deserve our solidarity. Now we must continue to mobilize and build greater solidarity among our communities. An important part of this will be supporting our courageous allies still in detention. We refuse to be intimidated by police repression, and with your help, we'll continue to organize in our communities for the same reasons that brought us together in the first place, now exacerbated under the austerity measures passed during the G20. Actions and demonstrations are also planned in Vancouver and Montreal.
In related news, members of Toronto's queer community confronted Police Chief Bill Blair earlier this week and called for his resignation. Blair had planned to speak at the 519 Community Centre to celebrate Toronto Police Pride. However, over 100 queer and trans people confronted the chief and accused him of pinkwashing Pride amid serious allegations of specific targeting and homophobic behavior of his officers amid the G20 detainees. The group, in a statement, noted, "We are not proud of the Toronto Police Services, whose shameful conduct was highlighted during the G20. We refuse to be used in pinkwashing attempts to cover up police violence against marginalized communities every day of the year." Calling for all people in the queer community to protest the sexual assault of women, men, and trans folk, racist violence, the denial of constitutional and human rights, including the right to free speech and assembly, to protest, to have access to an ASL interpreter or other interpreters, to see a lawyer and know what you're being charged with, to receive proper care when imprisoned. They highlighted the gross human rights violations committed during the G20.
The Movement Defense Committee that is representing G20 political prisoners is making a broad call to all supporters for funds. With a number of activists and organizers being imprisoned on trumped-up charges, legal costs will be high and will require as much financial support as possible. If you are able to contribute to the Legal Defense Fund, you can either get in touch with the Ontario Public Interest Research Group at York University or send a check addressed to Oberg York, put G20 Legal Defense in the subject line, and mail to C449 Student Center, York University, 4700 Kill Street, North York, Ontario, M3J1P3.
In other local news, the Ontario Court of Appeal has condemned the horrendous conduct of two Peel Region police officers who beat a man suspected in a string of Mississauga home invasions, leaving him with a broken jaw and permanent disability. Jason Tran said that the officers who were transporting him to a Peel police station back in 2003 had warned him it would be the hard way if he asserted his right to silence and refused to provide a statement. His decision to follow his lawyer's advice and say nothing left him with a broken jaw and headaches that still persist. Regardless of whether the officers abused Tran to obtain a confession or for some other reason, the essential fact is that they beat him up, just as Gloria Epstein said in a decision released late Wednesday. Their conduct was despicable, regardless of its motivation. The court called it shocking that no disciplinary action has ever been taken against the officers, who tried to cover up the incident and lied about it later in court. A 3-judge appeal panel also had harsh words for the Crown, for appearing to shrug off the incident after a trial judge concluded Tran was severely beaten and rejected the officer's story about how it was that he ended up beaten and bloodied in a police interview room. The province's Special Investigations Unit had launched an investigation, but closed the file on June 6, 2003, granting the offending officers impunity and refused to say why, citing their incompetence.
After widespread outcry, Queers Against Israeli Apartheid has successfully defended its right to march during this year's Pride. Qaya is calling on all supporters to march with them at the Pride Parade on Sunday, July 4th. In a statement, the group noted, quote, "We won the fight against the ban because of the radical and dedicated organizing of the queer community over the past month, and it's now time to celebrate. We're asking all supporters to queer up our own contingent as we parade our politics against Israeli apartheid through Toronto. Bring your sassy selves in pink, green, and glitter." End quote. Although the ban has been reversed, the occupation of Palestine and Israel's apartheid policies are still in place. More than ever, the queer community is mobilizing with the rest of Toronto to push for tangible resistance against Israeli apartheid and to make the links with queer resistance. Qaya plans to be the loudest and largest part of this year's Pride Parade.
Only hours after one of the most brutal and devastating police actions in Canadian history, Conservative leader Stephen Harper was back on the campaign trail this week, promising to beef up military presence in major cities. If he's elected January 23rd, Harper said territorial battalions made up of 100 regular troops and 400 or more reservists would be stationed in Vancouver, Calgary, Regina, Winnipeg, the Toronto area, and other major metropolitan areas. The increased military presence comes amidst a 20-year austerity plan that will surely bring about even greater civil strife than that experienced during the G20. "This is a full military presence," he added. "Obviously, we would anticipate that its domestic need would be in case of disaster, but obviously they would be military forces that could be forward deployed in the event of a more serious military conflict elsewhere." The Conservative leader also said he would boost the military's presence in British Columbia and across Western Canada in an effort that is clearly a violation of Indigenous sovereignty in that region. As significant cuts take place in social services, Harper has promised to increase defense spending by $5.3 billion more than is planned to be spent from 2006 to 2011.
In Guatemala, bottle distributors have been fired for trying to organize a union and are now in their second year of protests, camped out in a tent outside Guatemala's National Palace. According to Edwin Alvarez Guevara, Secretary General of the Petern Distributors Union, Agua Pura Salvavidas employees wanted fair working conditions, so they decided to organize a union in 2007. In response, their employer used classic union busting tactics. The company temporarily closed the factory, declared bankruptcy, then opened new subsidiary companies. 13 bottle distributor workers filed a union application with the Department of Labor in February 2007. That same day, the Department of Labor notified the company, which immediately fired the 13 workers. 3 days later, the remaining workers decided to strike. Later that day, at about 6 p.m., the company said they would rehire the workers. The company then sued the 13 workers for $400,000, approximately Canadian $52,100, in lost revenue from the one-day strike. The workers tried 6 more times to unionize. Quote, "We contacted the Minister of Labor to find out the status of our last union application, and we were told that the department meant to tell us that our union application was successful, but they said it did not matter now because the company no longer exists," unquote, said Alvarez. "They are supposed to fire workers during a union application, but this is what they did. They just changed the name of the company to avoid having to deal with our union."
Shareholders of Canadian mining giant Goldcorp Incorporated got a glimpse, albeit brief, into the lives of Central Americans whose land is being exploited by the company for gold. Some even paid attention. Representatives from communities hosting Goldcorp mines in Central America made their way from Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador to address the company's annual general meeting in Toronto on May 19, 2010. Protesters said they came to show their support for the international delegation, including Feliciano Arala from Guatemala and Carlos Amador from Honduras, among others who were speaking inside the AGM representing their communities and speaking out against Goldcorp's projects throughout the hemisphere. Shareholders learned about the devastating effect Goldcorp's operations have had on communities in Central America. The presenters told of an increase in health problems, cracked houses, widespread social conflict, and the criminalization of protest in their towns and villages. So speaking of criminalization of protest, we're going to throw to a quick track featuring a member of Known as Illegal and the Toronto Community Mobilization Network who's currently incarcerated. And so as part of the campaign to free all prisoners, we want to play this track. It was recorded at the security fence on Thursday, where people assembled for a press conference to talk about the significance of the fence as one of many borders that are erected in Canada and elsewhere to keep people out and to exploit people. So we're going to throw to that track, and it's featuring SK Hassan. And we just say, free all political prisoners, free all prisoners. And if you are able, please make a donation to the Legal Defense Fund, care of Oprah York.